Roadways, once paved, shape our cities for decades. In Murfreesboro, an effort began this year to undo one decision from the 1950s. As was common in many cities, large and small, a road project divided downtown Murfreesboro. As WPLN's Tony Gonzalez reports, the Dixie Highway wiped out a flood-prone shantytown and relocated African-American families.
Broad Street, as it's known locally, invites no one to cross it. It's five lanes wide, and on a walking tour, there's genuine uncertainty when a gaggle of city planners and historians have to try.
Yeah, we're going to experience the challenge of connection.
Yeah.
Right here.
Firsthand, trying to cross the street.
Right now, this is the probably single pedestrian crossway that exists across Broad Street.
They laugh, but this is a barrier that Murfreesboro officials now see as the enemy. It cuts off the downtown square from an area known as the Historic Bottoms. Even though this is the heart of the city, at the moment, Assistant City Manager Jennifer Moody sees basic warehouses, light industry, and several vacant lots.
We think it's an area that's ripe for redevelopment, and it's an area that probably would not as quickly develop on its own. So we're interested to see how public investments could encourage redevelopment faster than it would have otherwise happened.
The city wants to mimic the rebirth of the Gulch in Nashville. That could mean new infrastructure, allowing taller buildings up to six stories, and the addition of a pedestrian bridge, all to spur private investment. The thing is, this isn't the first time the government has taken an interest in the Bottoms. Back in 1952, so-called urban renewal federal funds brought a new highway through town, straight through this section. To understand the impact, Murfreesboro tapped local historian John Lodell. He's an expert on early African-American settlements after the Civil War.
You know, a lot of these interstates and major highways went through and cleared out slums, and predominantly African-American slums. And you see that in every major city in America.
That includes the Bottoms, originally home to poor industrial laborers. The railroad cuts through, and as Lodell leads this walking tour, he shows where cotton gins and sawmills once stood.
From what I'm told, the business got worse and worse, so to speak. You got into more of the saloons, gambling kind of areas coming down off the square as you got into the Bottoms.
The reputation was so rough that one funeral home worker told Lodell that he'd parked the hearse there on Friday nights, just waiting for a body. Renters stayed in cramped quarters, which were flooded by a nearby creek after almost every rainfall. It can still be a little uncomfortable to talk about.
Just can imagine without electricity, running water, you know, what life could have been like down there. Very impoverished.
Few who lived in the Bottoms are alive today, but in 2002, Lodell captured a handful of oral histories.
They were poorer than we were.
That's the late Aaron Wade Jr., who lived on the fringes.
They called them the Bottom, in the Bottoms. They lived in the Bottoms. It was a caste system in a fashion. I mean, we didn't associate with them.
Every spring, it would flood. And they'd have to move them out in boats and whatever else. Family members would kind of like take them in.
Nancy Vaughn, now an author, grew up during World War II and remembers well water, an outhouse, and a kerosene stove for heat.
We didn't have a bed warmer, so I'd have to wrap them in a blanket and then run as fast as I could to get back to the back and jump in the bed. Because it was so cold during the winter months. But those are things that you put up with.
About 40 families were moved to public housing. Eventually, the city hall complex, a fire station, and the water department would all be built on land once home to African Americans. And the Broad Street Project also has a complicated legacy, says state historian Carol Van West.
It destroyed a lot of landscape and sort of divided the city. But then it did bring, you know, it did work. It brought new business into the city in a major way. So it's that sort of push-pull of urban renewal at the time.
Van West says the earnest belief was that Bottoms residents were getting an upgrade, although they weren't given much choice. Nobody lives there anymore, but this time they've had 9 months of public meetings about the future of the Bottoms, and events like the walking tour are meant to avoid the brusque treatment of days gone by. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Tony Gonzalez.